Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, Sammy P with you on this Thursday. Let's get to some college football. Some good matchups to talk about, some impactful matchups, even though potentially a handful of blowouts. There's always a betting angle to all of these. Sammy P, let's bring in our buddy Matt Fortuna. He is a college football analyst, founder of the Inside Zone. Find his work, InsideZoneMF.com over on X. Matt_Fortuna. Matt, how you feeling, man?
Good. Any gambling news today? I just dropped my kids off at school. I've been out of it.
I just saw Damon Jones was arrested too, Joe. He's an assistant coach in the NBA. So that's Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, Terry Rozier. I don't think this is going to stop at three names. That's what I think, Tuna. I don't think we stop at three.
Yeah, I don't either. I just, I hope they're not overselling, under-delivering like they did with, the FBI dig when they thought they were going to fix college basketball and they sent a couple, pretty innocent people to jail. Hopefully this is, actually worth the headlines we're giving it right now. Otherwise, it might be a waste of everybody's time and just, the FBI trying to get a couple of cheap headlines. But I'm jaded. I've seen this before with college basketball, not in the gambling space. But it's definitely juicy, especially when a sitting NBA head coach who happens to be a Hall of Famer ends up with potential ties to the mafia.
Yeah, well, when the director of the FBI is involved, I think it's serious. So, the press conference is going to be starting up in a little bit. We'll make sure to pass it along, a lot of the information that comes out of there. Matt, I'm going to start with a team that probably a lot of people are not talking about this coming week, but maybe they should be talking more about. We started having the Notre Dame conversation about how good they really were last week. And now people are starting to see it. After that USC loss, rather win in the elements over the weekend. In the gambling space, Sam's one of them with his power rankings. We started talking to more and more people that even though they have two losses, they are rated as a top five team in the country. When you look at the Irish, how good is Notre Dame?
I think it's a really good football team. I think it's a football team that's hitting its stride. I think, you need to root for Miami if you're Notre Dame. That loss Friday does not help because Miami now does not control its own destiny in the ACC race. But I don't think there's any shame, right, in losing to Miami and Texas A&M by a total of 4 points. I think those are two teams that will be right there in the playoff picture at the end, as will Notre Dame. I mean, the schedule certainly helped, but you got to remember, they're breaking in a first-time starter quarterback who's a redshirt freshman that Miami game, and they had a new defense coordinator in Chris Ash those first two games as well. And I'm not saying this is the steel curtain overnight, but you've seen this group adapt to Chris Ash, get much better throughout the course of the season. They had a few hiccups early against USC, but they're able to really control that game in the second half. And I think, in a year where it feels like it's Ohio State everybody, and even then I think Ohio State is beatable, I put Notre Dame right up there. I've seen them as high as three in some people's power ratings. I don't know if I go that high right now, But I do think you put them on the field against anyone, they're going to have a good chance to win.
It makes people irate, though, to say that. And I have no affinity for Notre Dame. I don't particularly like Notre Dame, but the numbers really, they speak to you. When you come out of a power rating and you've got Ohio State 1, Bama 2, Oregon 3, Notre Dame 4. And I sent it to my buddy who's been making numbers for 20 years in Vegas, and I said, my numbers aren't right. I don't have, like, any reason why Notre Dame should be 4. And he goes, yeah, you're right. Your numbers are wrong. I have them 2. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now, like, that's not a team that maybe deserves the accolades of being one of the top 3 teams perceptionally. But if I was making a list of 3 teams Ohio State wouldn't want to play, I think Notre Dame would be in that top 3. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I do worry a little bit about these guys in situational football. Again, they played 2 close games, and they lost both close games. Even the USC game, they kind of rolled out the red carpet for USC to go out there and steal it on Saturday night. And Lincoln Riley, like, one of the worst play calls I've ever seen in my life, that ultimately undid the Trojans with that one. But, you know, Notre Dame has a quarterback right now in C.J. Carr, who, while not Brady Quinn yet, is probably the best quarterback they've had since Brady Quinn, which is 20 years ago now. You know, they're able to outscore people and get into track meets if need be. And look, they've got the best running back tandem in the country as well. Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love combined for nearly 500 yards, all purpose yards against USC on Saturday night. You know, the schedule is very, very soft after this bye week, right? I mean, they get probably an undefeated Navy team at home at night, which could be a challenge just with the new defense coordinator at Notre Dame. And they go to Pittsburgh in the penultimate week of the season. Pittsburgh seems to have found a second gear since they made the quarterback switch to Mason Heinschel. But again, these are all games Notre Dame will probably be double-digit favorites in. And as long as they don't trip over themselves, they'll be 10-2. And I imagine they'll be right there in the playoff mix. They need some cards to align for them, you know, externally. But I just have a hard time seeing a team on a 10-game winning streak that played for a national championship a year ago being left out at the end of the day.
Matt, before we dive into this week's card and these matchups going down, let's zoom out a little bit. When you consider the number of teams that you think could win the championship, how long is that list, man? How many teams do you think?
Yeah, in a wide open year like this one, I think you could almost go double digits, right? And again, I'm not saying these teams will, but I mean, how many from the SEC could, right? Between Alabama, Georgia, I don't think Vanderbilt can win at all, but Vanderbilt, I think, is a real playoff contender with what they've shown so far. I think you've got 3 teams in the Big Ten that can stake their claim to being legitimate national title contenders. Notre Dame's right there. I think Miami's right there as well. So maybe a little less than double digits, but 6, 7, 8. I think there's a healthy group right now. And again, I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. I don't think they're unbeatable. This is a team that still has not proven that it can run the football when it needs to. And when you get to those playoff games, the semifinal games, the national championship, it's all about situational football. We saw Penn State screw up in that regard in the semifinals last year. We saw Texas mess up in that regard at the goal line against Ohio State in the semifinals last year. So I think all these teams are flawed to some degree, and that's what makes this championship race so exciting.
Who wins more playoff games, A&M, Indiana?
Indiana. Well, I'm sure Indiana will be in. I'm not sure A&M will be in with the schedule. I think they'll be in, but yeah, I think A&M's just flawed enough defensively, too, where they can get got early on. And Indiana, I mean, I don't know what more you can say about them after that Oregon game. I understand some people had some questions going into that, but, I mean, they were the better team in all 3 phases in that Oregon game, right? If not for a pick 6, they win that game on the road in a hostile environment by at least 17 points. So, you know, there's very few things I can say negative about Indiana right now. We'll ultimately see probably them against Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. That should be pretty epic. But, you know, I think Indiana's good for at least 1 or 2 playoff wins at the very least.
Vanderbilt hosts Missouri. Is Vanderbilt a playoff team?
I think they have a chance. And it's pretty crazy, right? We're here on, what is it, October 23rd, and we're talking about Indiana and Vanderbilt, you know, making championship runs. I mean, it goes to show you how upside down this college football season has been. But as long as Vanderbilt takes care of business this week, you know, I think they've got games at Tennessee and they've got games at Texas. that Texas one does not look as intimidating as we all thought it would be at the beginning of the season. This is a Vanderbilt team that I think had a real chance to beat Alabama on the road. Diego Pavia, their best player, had two uncharacteristic red zone turnovers that ultimately ruined any chance they had of springing the upset. If they win this weekend as a home favorite, which I think they will, and if they win one of those two on the road, we're talking about probably a 10-2 SEC team, and that's going to get you in. We saw number 9-3 SEC teams last year that were on the brink of the playoffs. So 10-2 Vanderbilt will be a playoff team. Can they get there? They got to stay healthy. They're still not good enough to the point where they can just roll the balls out and beat whoever they're lining up against. But this is a very disciplined football team with a magician back there, a quarterback, who I think can win them some games on his own. And I think they're going to be right there in the mix at the end of the season.
I was laughing last night. I sent a text out to one of my buddies who works at the Westgate. And I said, what do you need this weekend? What does the house need? And he laughed. He put LOL. We need North Carolina. They need them every week now, man. Because nobody wants to bet on Carolina, and everybody wants to bet against. Virginia's a very hot team right now. Very sexy. Joe and I, yesterday we played a game called 3-2-1 where we have to list a team to do something. And Paul says, who's winning the ACC? And Joe and I both said Virginia. Now that that's happened, and now that we have sexified Virginia, is there any chance you could stomach a UNC plus 10.5 bet this weekend?
I won't put it down myself, but I could see it. I mean, I made the mistake of taking Cal last week, and Carolina should have won that game. They fumbled going into the end zone for the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. I mean, that was a very sloppy performance by Cal. For all the bad we could say about Bill Belichick's team this year, they didn't quit, right? I mean, we're talking about a Friday night game three time zones away in the Bay Area, and they were right there in position to win it at the end. So I do think they'll get one or two ACC wins here. Does it happen this week? I don't know. I think Virginia's been playing with fire a little bit. They should have lost at home last week against Washington State. They are very lucky in the sense that their only loss is to NC State in a game that didn't count toward the conference standings. They scheduled it at a conference. So Virginia technically controlled its own destiny in the ACC race right now. 10.5 is a lot to be given on the road, in my opinion. But my question is, can the Fighting Bill Belichicks get up 2 weeks in a row and come close to springing an upset like they did last week? I don't know. I just think at some point you lose enough games, close or otherwise, that has a worrying effect. And again, that's a team I want nothing to do with from a betting standpoint. I thought it was a lock last week that they'd lose by double digits on the road, and it didn't happen. So shame on me, but I'm going to stay away from Carolina from now on.
With Matt Fortuna, InsideZoneMF.com. Make sure you check that out. Let's go Oklahoma, Ole Miss. 5.5. Mateer's third game back. We haven't seen an impressive performance as he's slowly healing with that, coming back from that injury. What do you think about this Oklahoma-Ole Miss matchup? This is just the start here for the Sooners. It is a rough go the rest of the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I think Oklahoma proved a lot to me last week with the bounce back win on the road at South Carolina as convincingly as they did. Defense travels, as they say, and that defense has looked really, really good. I don't want to say throw out the Texas game, But regardless of who's playing, regardless of who's coaching, regardless of what the year is, that game never makes sense, right? Like, it's so not indicative of how each team season ultimately ends up. You get bragging rights, but as far as being in the SEC race, I mean, I still think Oklahoma's got, you know, a much better chance of making a run here than Texas does. I like Oklahoma in a close one. I don't know if I would take the points. I mean, I just think, you know, Ole Miss is dynamic offensively. Trinidad Chambliss looked really good for three quarters at Georgia, and ultimately Georgia kind of figured him out defensively and was able to keep the ball away from him in the fourth quarter. I think it's a big ask of Lane Kiffin and his bunch to go on the road after a devastating loss like that last week and upset Oklahoma. I actually parlayed Oklahoma money line with Navy minus 14. I know that line has since gone up. I love Navy at home against FAU. I like Oklahoma to win this one. But that line, I mean, you said 5.5. I saw it at 4.5 yesterday, so it's moving a lot. I don't know if I want to take Oklahoma with that spread, but I do think ultimately they prove victorious this weekend.
I don't think Dampier is going to play for Utah. That's my opinion. I have no intel there. That is just my guess. I don't think he's right. They brought him back last week. They taped the ankle. They shot him up like a mule. I don't think he's going to play. If that's the case, we can get behind Colorado plus 13.5, no?
Oh, I don't know. This Colorado team, I mean, they're a different team at home than they are on the road. Obviously, we saw them with the big upset of Iowa State a couple weeks ago, but there's not a whole lot I like about this Colorado team. Talk about a team that's bad at situational football. The clock management's been funky all season long. They turn the ball over too much. Utah, regardless who's playing quarterback, it's one of the toughest places to play in the country. It's one of the best home field advantages, Rice-Eccles Stadium. I know Texas Tech had their way with them last month, but, no Dampier, I would stay away. But if Dampier's playing, I mean, I think you got to take Utah at 13 or 13.5.
Matt, literally every week this year, there's a new hot name. There's a new favorite for the Heisman. It's a different quarterback. So where do we go with this? Are we missing something? Are we missing a non-quarterback that could have a big run at the very end? Are we missing the quarterback that's played all right, but they're set up to impress in big spots in the end? What are you thinking when it comes to Heisman?
You know, the guy with the shortest odds out of non-quarterbacks is Jeremiah Love, who's coming off a huge performance against USC last week. Usually I'd say Notre Dame guy has no chance because they're not playing on conference championship weekend, which is ultimately the final dress rehearsal. But if you look at the last 3 years, I mean, Travis Hunter won it last year. He didn't play in a conference title game. 23, Jaden Daniels won it kind of by default after Bo Nix laid an egg against Washington in the conference championship game. And 22, Caleb Williams won it, and he got hurt in what ended up being a blowout in the Pac-12 championship game against Utah. So I do think recent history is on Jeremiah Love's side in that regard. I just don't know if Notre Dame's going to hand him the ball off enough to ultimately put up the kind of numbers that you need to ultimately win this thing as a non-quarterback. I mean, you look at Ashton Gentry last year, 2,600 yards, ended up being the runner-up. Jeremiah Love's not going to finish with that many yards. And this is a team that wants to make a playoff run and that did not have a healthy Jeremiah Love during the playoff run last year. So I don't think Notre Dame ultimately will put him in position where he has a realistic chance of winning the Heisman, but he is that good. He's got a great personal story, and he's a highlight reel waiting to happen on every single play. So I think he could get to New York. As far as quarterbacks, I mean, I don't think Julian Sayin's going to win it. As good as he's been, I just think Ohio State's going to ultimately split the votes between him, Jeremiah Smith, and potentially Carnell Tate. And then, look, is Fernando Mendoza going to win it if he loses the Big Ten title game to Ohio State? Probably not, unless it's an epic shootout where ultimately his defense collapses. So I think the safest bet is in the SEC right now. Probably Ty Simpson, maybe Marcel Reed if he keeps it up. But you got a number of quarterbacks there in the SEC who I think are ultimately going to be fighting for that top spot.
Matt Fortuna, Matt_Fortuna on X, InsideZoneMF.com. We appreciate your time. Enjoy all the football this weekend. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.